This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Cakes, EB, JP, and Bish, broadcasting live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex. Presented by AAA, hit the road with confidence. We'll talk to the head coach of the Washington Capitals coming up in about 20 minutes. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our pal Dave Richard, fantasy football guru for CBSSports.com. What's up, Dave?
Gentlemen, I am flying like Terry McLaurin down the field last week. How about that? How about this Redskins offense playing a lot better than we thought?
Oh, they were poo in the second half.
They were, but in the first half, like, that's, you know how like NFL Films makes a highlight reel for every team after every season? The highlight reel that NFL Films is going to make is just going to be the first half of that game against Philadelphia. That's true. Washington Redskins had a lead in the opening of the year. And then, like, you know, who cares about the rest? That's going to be the highlight reel.
How did you do in your 76 leagues that you're in?
You know, I went 33-41 or whatever it would be based on being in 76 leagues. I actually cut down on my leagues this year. I'm only in 14 leagues plus whatever I do in DFS. So a little bit lighter load than I'm used to. And I did pretty well. I got a bunch of wins. Real happy.
You mentioned Terry McLaurin, rookie receiver who had a big breakout game. Several rookie receivers did. Which of the guys that had big performances, rookie receivers, should we believe in the most?
Okay, so I feel like these guys are more prepared for the NFL than they've ever been, and I also think that coaches kind of remember that speed rules. Like, that's one of the big takeaways that I got from week one, is that you look at the receivers that had huge games, they were all, almost every single one of them, did it with the deep ball. They're just beating slower defensive players downfield, and quarterbacks, stronger arm than ever, are finding them downfield. The one that impressed me the absolute most was actually A.J. Brown, not Marquise Brown. A.J. Brown of the Titans, I really like his game, and not that he's a downfield burner, but he's a yards-after-catch kind of guy, and Marcus Mariota can't exactly throw with accuracy downfield. So I think there are going to be opportunities coming up where he's going to get more targets, and the Titans are going to try and scheme him up to get open. Would he be my top waiver wire priority? Absolutely not. In fact, there's a rookie receiver that didn't even have a catch last week that I'd rather have ahead of A.J. Brown right now, and that's Mecole Hardman in Kansas City, because it looks like he's going to get about a month's time to replace Tyreek Hill. So he's one that I like a lot. I think Marquise Brown has great upside. I see people rushing to get him, and you just have to caution it a little bit. He played the Dolphins. That defense isn't going to be very good this year. They got no pressure on Lamar Jackson, so he had all day to throw. I don't think it's going to be quite that easy every week for him, but I don't mind having him on my squad. I think the Seahawks really like DK Metcalf a lot. You can tell that by the number of targets that he got. And even though he's not a great route runner, and even though he's an injury risk because of all the things he's dealt with in his career, the dude's 6'4", and he runs a 4.3, so there's going to be opportunities for him downfield. And you got to give some love to McLaurin, too. You know, he played almost every single snap, tied for second on the team in both targets and catches, and he led the team with 125 yards. I don't know if he's going to score a 69-yard touchdown every single week, but I think he's going to get some decent volume. You know the Redskins are going to play from behind, and Case Keenum did all right. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I think you got to be happy with him. This offense is going to throw the ball quite a bit, and McLaurin's going to get a piece of it. So he does have some moderate fantasy value. I don't know if I'd start him this week, but I think he's a bench player for sure.
All right, a lot of questions coming your way. Full point Pipper, flex position, Dorsett, Ronald Jones, or Courtland Sutton. Talk to me.
Yeah, that's a gross trio, but I'm going to go with Sutton. It's a difficult matchup against Chicago, but I like the volume that he had against Oakland, and I don't think Denver's going to be able to run the ball. I'm not sure if Denver's going to be able to run the ball against anybody this year. If they couldn't run it against the Raiders, they certainly can't run it against the Bears. So Sutton's going to get some more opportunities. I'd start him.
Dave, I had to borderline yell at Awad, first of all, because he's starting both Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray in the same lineup. I hate starting two running backs from the same team. But I also saw he had Chris Conley in his lineup over Juju because Juju had a red Q by his name. And I said, you have to start Juju. There's no way you can bench him.
I agree. And I'm glad he's doing that because of the red Q and not because Conley had a good game last week. And Conley actually might have some good value in that offense just because he's going to play a lot. So by nature of him getting six targets a week, maybe he'll be somebody that you use as a bench receiver. But come on, you're not going to start him over Juju Smith-Schuster. That's absolutely ridiculous. Juju's going to be your guy. And when the Saints go on the road, they change their offense a little bit, especially when they're outdoors on grass. They become a little bit more conservative. They try not to lean too heavily on Drew Brees. They want to run the football. So this week, I don't hate the idea of going with Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. If Murray's your flex, of course, but it really depends on who your other running backs are to compare to Latavius in your lineup.
Joined by Dave Richard, fantasy football guru for CBSSports.com. I'm a little bit worried after Devonta Freeman's debut against the Vikings. Will he have a bounce back this weekend at home against the Eagles? Is he safe to start, or do I start panicking after 1 week?
No, he's a number two running back. I wouldn't panic yet. But the Falcons, I mean, they ran it. Their toughest match of the year was week one against Minnesota. And now they're back at home against Philly. I think it's going to be easier for them. I hate that they lost one of their starting offensive linemen. It's a good one, too. Lindstrom with the foot injury, going to be gone for a while. The thing that I was concerned about with Freeman coming into the season was just how much work is he going to get from week to week, and he's an injury risk. So as long as those two factors continue to kind of hover over his head like a black cloud, I don't know if I can recommend him as anything more than a number two running back, but that's where he's at right now. I'll give you some names of running backs I would start ahead of him this week. Josh Jacobs, you got to do it. Austin Eckler, got to do that too. Derrick Henry, that's three in a row. Even Giovanni Bernard. If Joe Mixon doesn't play, Giovanni Bernard's got a track record of playing incredibly well as the Bengals' spot starter at running back. I would go with him. PPR, not PPR, doesn't matter over Devonta Freeman this week.
All right, real quick, second running back, Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, or Raheem Mostert. I mean, look, it's just thin, that second running back.
It's very thin. That's like Kate
Moss
thin.
Well, hopefully the rest of your team is loaded. Holy mackerel.
Well, hold on. Hold on, Dave. That roster, I've got Deshaun Watson, Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Sammy Watkins. I mean, I've got a bunch of scrubs.
You're in real trouble. No, it's good that it's this way. You'd rather have it this way than the other way, where you just lost Hunter Henry and Tyreek Hill, and now you're starting scraps and your fantasy season's over. Go with Sanders. He played the most snaps of any Eagles running back.
Showed some burst,
I don't know
too.
How good this Falcons defense is. Yeah, he is. So I think he's the one that you go with. Mostert's an interesting running back to have on your bench. I wouldn't feel good about starting him over the Eagles, guys, or at least over Sanders.
Okay. All right, Dave, let's bang out some calls. Got the lines locked and loaded, as always. Let's try line three. Let's go to Wally from Maine for our guy Dave Richard.
Wow,
Wally, what's
good.
Up, man?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, pal.
I was wondering, Baker Mayfield or Matt Stafford?
I've been getting that question a lot lately. They're ranked back-to-back in my quarterback rankings, both of them outside of the top 12, both of them behind guys like Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Dak Prescott, and Lamar Jackson. I'm not feeling great about either one, but I am going to start Mayfield. I think that he'll have some more opportunities to make plays. And just you look at the weapons at his disposal. He didn't look like a complete train wreck until late last week. Hopefully that doesn't happen again this week. Hopefully he can find the end zone more often than get picked off.
God, that pleased me so greatly to see him struggle. That's the only thing that made the Redskins loss palatable, was seeing Baker struggle. I love that. All right, let's go to line four. Let's go to Kate, North Carolina. Kate, what's up? You're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave. Hi, Jonks.
Hey, what's up?
Quick question for quarterback. Big Ben or Lamar Jackson?
You got to go with Lamar Jackson at home against Arizona. The Cardinals doing the cross-country trip for this game, and their defense really just isn't very good. The Lions gave that game away last week. I don't know if the Ravens are going to be 59 points good every week. I mean, the Dolphins' defense is just a train wreck. The Cardinals' defense isn't quite a train wreck. I don't know how I'd describe them. They're a step up from train wreck, I guess. I think that you're going to see Lamar Jackson have a shot at another 3-touchdown game. You should definitely start him.
Good luck.
All right, thank you. Let's go to line five. Let's go to Steve from Fairfax. Steve, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave, thanks for taking my call. In a standard league, should I start Hardman from Kansas City or Curtis Samuel for the Panthers?
So Samuel was a guy that I loved coming into the season, and I still think he's got some traits that you'd like to have on a receiver on your fantasy team. If you feel a little risky, you can go with Hardman, who played a ton last week. He played more than any receiver on the Chiefs other than Sammy Watkins. He just didn't get the targets to show for it. The matchup against Oakland is even better than it looks like statistically. The Raiders are already down one starter in their secondary. It might be two by the time game time comes around. Hardman plays a lot like Tyreek Hill. In fact, he's got speed. He's not big. He's small. But he can definitely get open pretty easily, and they can use him on screens, slants, the deep ball, the whole nine yards, everything that Tyreek Hill can do, Hardman can do as well. So if you're feeling like taking a chance, you can go with Hardman over Curtis Samuel, and it shouldn't hurt you too much.
This is from a texter, half-point Pipper, Drake or Murray?
Murray. Don't start any Dolphins.
All right.
Let's just make that a rule for the foreseeable future.
That's a go-to.
Don't start any, unless you're trying to lose your fantasy team, your fantasy league, don't start any Dolphins.
I'll tell them that. All right.
All right, let's go to line two. Let's go to our guy, Pastor Jacques. Jacques, what's up, buddy? You on with Dave Richard?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Good morning, Dave. Who would you start in a PPR out of this poo-poo list? Deion Lewis, Chris Thompson, Giovanni Bernard, or Kenyon Dake? I'll do Bernard if Mixon doesn't play, but if Mixon does play, who would you start?
Okay, so you know what to do if Mixon's out. If Mixon's in, I'm going to Chris Thompson. And this run game in Washington, you lose Darius Geis, you get Adrian Peterson. That makes me like Thompson even more. So as long as he's healthy and as long as it's a PPR format where all those catches he gets will count, I'm going to start him, and I'm going to expect close to 15 points in PPR a week from him.
Ooh, that's tasty. People love that.
It is. He's the number two running back this week.
Dave, I know that you're ready for the speed round. I hope the listeners are ready as well. No small talk, no trade questions, no stupid questions, no pleasantries allowed, and no questioning Dave's advice. There we go.
All right. Let's go to line six. Go to Jack. Jack, you're up. Go.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right. Let's go. No small talk. Line seven.
I feel bad for that.
David,
guy.
Speed round. Go.
Hey, Mark.
Hey,
come on, Matt.
No, we break down the rules for everybody. Jason, they know. They know how this works.
But it's instinct. It's human nature to say, "Hey, what?
Doesn't matter. You know what?
Hey.
You know what? Be better. Should be better."
All right.
Let's go to Carson. Line eight.
Out of my control.
Carson, speed round. Go.
Tariq Cohen, Aaron Jones, or Adrian Peterson. Sit one.
I'm going to sit Peterson.
Very good. That's how it's done. He stumbled a little bit at the end, but it's fine.
Let's go to line three, Valdez. Randy, speed round, go.
Standard league, non-PPR, need three of four. Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, Sony Michel, and Devin Singletary.
I'm going to sit Singletary, but that's a close one.
He only had, what, four carries last week?
Yeah, but they were explosive.
But he had at least 10 yards on every carry.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's going to get more work. He's going to be great. You're going to be glad you have him on your fantasy squad.
The caller was a little redundant. He said standard league and non-PPR. Same thing. I'm just pointing things out.
You're just being correct. Let's go to line four. Let's go to Matt. Speed round, go.
Half point PPR, need two of three. Goff, Breeze, Lamar Jackson.
I'm sitting Breeze.
Ooh, wow.
Look at that.
Hey.
Like it.
Let's go to line two. Steve, speed round, go.
PPR flex spot, need two. Julian Edelman and Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Williams, Hockenson, and Malcolm Brown.
Hackensack.
You're going to go with Edelman for sure. I think Hockenson might actually be the better one to go with as your second option.
I actually thought Valdez was going to hang up on him for breathing.
Yeah, I thought like there was a pause there. I thought so too.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to line five. Let's go to Ryan. Speed round, go.
Three of six. Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Fitzgerald, DeSean Jackson, Lockett, and Allen Robinson.
Holy moly.
How can you remember that?
Yeah, I would go with the first two and Tyler Lockett.
I mean, Cooper plays every week. It's borderline dumb. You can't throw his name in there.
Right.
He's an every week
starter. I almost
think
Lockett is the same way. I almost think the guys I told him the starter, every week starters.
Yep.
Good
All
receiving
right.
core.
Couple more. Line six, John, speed round, go.
Half point PPR,
James Washington, Mecole Hardman, Marquise Brown, and DJ Chark. Me too.
I'm going to go with Hardman and Brown, the rookies.
Good luck.
It's all about the rookie receivers.
Yep. Go to line seven. Sam, speed round, go.
Standard, Adrian Peterson or Aaron Jones?
Jones. And so, I don't even really like Aaron Jones that much this week. I just think he'll get more carries and have a better chance to put up some numbers than AP or Singletary. I might even go with Singletary.
Dave, do you like my 20 carries for AP, 87 yards and a touchdown?
No, he doesn't.
I'll take the under for my mortgage.
Oh, wow. For his mortgage.
Let's go to line eight. Kyle, speed round, go.
Twin five PPR, James White, Duke Johnson, Aaron Jones.
I mean, if you need one, it's Duke Johnson. If you need two, it's White and Johnson.
All right, and let's go to our guy. He's there, Cakes. We may be here at MedStar, but nothing changes. Let's go to our guy, John DePompa. Hey, John.
Hey, Dave. I think you're bold. I got a draft tonight, Dave. It's actually a junkie spouse lifetime salary league. I take Amy Allville, number one overall, right?
Yes, she I do. The answer is yes.
She might
Dave.
Be deserving of the number one.
She makes like 100. She makes 120K.
Oh, pants would be bigger if she made 120K. Dave, right. You're a great sport. We always appreciate it. Of course, you can tweet him at Dave Richard.
Yes, you can.
Fantasy football guru for CBSSports.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Good luck, Dave. Good talking to you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Good luck in your leagues this weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, pal.
Coming up later this hour, Todd Reardon, the head coach of the Washington Capitals, joins us here at MedStar Capital's Iceplex. Then Lars Eller.
Hey, Coach Wooten's basketball camp is the place this fall for players, coaches, and teams to grow. Small group skills training, coaches clinic, and a team tournament, all available this fall. Instruction is the difference at Coach Wooten's basketball camp. They instill a love for the game by teaching and having fun. Coach Wooten's basketball clinic is the nation's longest running coaches clinic. It allows all levels to learn from the leading college and high school coaches. I've been there. It's legit. It's worth it. Check it out at CoachWooten.com. That's CoachWooten.com. Two O's and two T's. CoachWooten.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex, presented by AAA. Hit the road with confidence. The head coach of the Washington Capitals, Todd Reardon, scheduled to join us here shortly. Lars Eller, cap center, will join us as well. You know, I'm wondering what the scrutiny is going to be like on Cousy. Of course, Cousy suspended internationally, but not suspended by the NHL.
Right.
You know, we've talked about his disappointing season. We've talked about kind of that last year was kind of a disappointing season, although I picked up the press release out there on what the Capitals have, and it says, you know, from the PR Capital storylines, and it is pretty impressive. He's one of nine forwards in the NHL on an active streak of four straight seasons with at least 40 assists. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he racks up numbers, and he's a hugely important piece of this Capitals team. You just have to hope that he's getting the help that he needs.
You just need consistency, too. I mean, Figure all that out, and then hopefully you'll see a more consistent
Which
guy.
One of the four is going to ask BMAC about Cousy?
Not
it's
me.
Not going to be me.
Not me.
I asked Rab T-shirt if I should ask a question, and he looked paler than usual. Looked like he'd seen.
He looked like the ice.
He looked like he'd seen 100 ghosts. Right. And from his reaction, I thought, you know what? Just going to keep
it light.
Well,
haven't they already been asked everything?
Going to keep it light.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Probably.
You know what I'm going to ask Coach Reardon about? His Bowling Green Falcons, because they got pummeled by K-State last week.
Oh, he's a Bowling Green guy.
He is a Bowling Green guy, yes.
I have a cousin at Bowling Green, freshman at Bowling Green. My mother graduated from Bowling
Green. Well, you know
what?
They got a nice win against Morgan State, I believe, but then they got pole axed by K-State, 52-0.
Well, I won't ask. How about this? I won't ask any questions.
Yes, you will.
It's good you made the trip. Mark.
You told me before the
it's
show.
Good you made the trip.
Hey, I put my work into the first 2.5 hours.
Then you can't wait to talk to Lars and to Coach Reardon.
I do a lot of this.
And you're going to talk.
People don't know what this means right here.
Yeah.
All right.
What does that mean?
If you're watching, I'm not NBC trying to put a hex on Cakes
no,
or anything.
Not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this means all the questions you going to Cakes. That
Jason,
means he ask all of the Caps questions.
Can you be honest with the audience? We had a long text thread last night. You said that you want to talk to Brian McClellan about all of the prospects down on the farm in Hershey, maybe even the lower level guys in South Carolina. You want to talk to him about all of that when he's on the show later.
Correct.
I mean, just come clean with the audience. It's okay.
Well, here's the deal with the Washington Capitals. You know, we came in here and it certainly hasn't been on our radar.
Far
and now
from.
We're here, and the season is going to be starting in a couple of weeks.
How about their first preseason game is on September 16th?
Right. So and that's in 4 days.
Right.
They've won the Metro now 4 straight years. They've been at 100 points or more 5 straight years.
Yes.
It's just a level of consistency, and the expectations, I think, are always there. And there's no reason to believe that they'll drop off. It was disappointing, you know, playoffs last year, but mm-hmm. you got to believe they're going to be right back in the mix of it in the Metro Division, winning 100 points, back in the playoffs, and then you see what happens.
But generally speaking, Cakes, the consensus is the Caps upgraded or stayed the same with their offseason additions.
I mean, outside of Gudas coming in from Philly, I don't think any of the other additions are huge. I mean, Richard Panik comes in. He can provide a little more offense. I think that's kind of a replacement for Connolly, who departed to a free agent deal. I can't remember who he signed with. Maybe with the Panthers? I think that's ringing a bell.
You're asking me.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jason for that.
Was the Carolina Panthers? I might know.
No, it was not the Carolina Panthers. I'll have to double-check that.
But, who has more money? Who has more money walking up, Sergei, the PR guy, or Todd Reirden?
It's a very good question. It's a photo finish. It's a very good
Coach,
question.
Sit down. Sit down right here. Get front and center.
There joined by Washington Capitals Reardon. Head coach Todd Reirden, joining us here at MedStar Capitals Iceplex on Media Day. Welcome, Coach Reirden. How are you today?
Head on. Looking good.
There he is.
I like this quarter zip. I'll take it from you.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
We're done with the interview.
Exactly.
That it's is really pretty good. Sweet.
Yeah, we're got all new stuff today, so
very
get
good.
It out there.
Is today gear day?
Yeah, gear day.
Yeah, very and, good.
We just started with a kind of a little bit of an administrative type of meeting at 8 o'clock. We've got 61 guys in there. So,
right.
You know, it's in addition to all of our support staff. So kind of a kickoff to things, and they're going to come over and do some off ice testing and then meet with you guys and some doing some media
so
stuff.
Summer vacation is officially over. Where did the Reirden clan go on vacation this summer?
Had to do something fancy, something warm.
Yeah. You know what? I'm from the Chicagoland area and go back there. I now own a house here in Falls Church that I really like. And
nice.
My son goes to school at George Mason, so we had to wait until he was finished up with school and then getting back here early enough for him to get going as well. So that kind of dictates a little bit about.
Come on, give us the good vacation spot,
yes,
though.
The good vacation spot for my family and I is on Lake Michigan. It's just on the border there of Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, right around that spot where we can go back and see family and friends, and that's a good spot for us.
Do you water ski?
We were there for I did not water ski on Lake Michigan this summer, but it's a really good spot for us, and you know, we were there for three four weeks, and
nice.
Then I slipped away with my wife for an extra 5 days. We ended up going to Jamaica.
Perfect.
Just her and I. So you know,
nice.
we're able
did you
to
get hammered.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're still talking, so that's good.
right.
And my 17-year-old son didn't get into trouble, so
very
that's
good.
That's good.
But that was it was really
I can relate.
It was really hot there, and it was actually when I was supposed to go to. Go there during the All-Star break, and obviously had that opportunity to coach in San Jose and be a part of the All-Star staff there, and that was certainly something I was happy to trade places with and go in the summer. So
good.
That was the majority of it, and kind of getting ready with some of our summer projects.
Coach, I want to thank you and the Capitals organization for having us out to Caps Media Day last week. Great experience. My only complaint, and there's only one.
Oh, you have a complaint, Kate.
Just one.
All
and
right.
It's very minor. larger helmets. My head is too big for the helmets. Who's the capital with the biggest head whose helmet I could steal going forward? Is it Dmitry Orlov? Seems to have kind of a big noggin.
I mean, who's got the big dome?
Who's got the biggest dome on the
capital? I mean, you guys track everything. You guys talked about how you now, you know, track their fitness with, I forget the name of the machine.
Catapult.
Catapult. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
I mean, they track everything they do.
Right.
Do you track head size? Cakes needs to know.
I need the bigger, I've got a big dome.
I think you should look to number eight.
Ovi's too. Okay.
He's a big man.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so he's probably a guy that, that would have been a good helmet to use, and it automatically allows you to score goals as soon as you put it on.
Very good.
I don't know. I did watch some of the performances that were going on out there, and you know, we'll get to that. Maybe we'll get to that another time, because I know a few of you were out there that day. And I've got some video for you. We're gonna get to it another time. So I'm gonna save that for. When you guys are coming after me after we have a tough game, then that's when I'm going to bring that up and get back at you.
Another thing I found amazing is the amount of work that gets put in by our friend Brett Leonhardt and Tim Ohashi on the video side, the scouting of, you know, just how in-depth it is as far as how many games they have to digest and watch before, you know, the Capitals take on an opponent. Talk about all of that prep that goes in on the video side and what a great job those guys do.
Yeah, you have to, you know, find some special people to do those type of jobs. And, you know, the way that we scout games has changed and the way that they pre-scouted games has changed since when I came over 5 years ago and going into my sixth year here. But I thought there could be a little bit more detail and preparation that goes into giving our players an advantage before they go on the ice. And I think that that's something I'd had success in my past spot with, and something I was able to bring to the organization I felt really passionate about, but we had to find the right personnel to do it because it's it takes quite a bit of time. But, you know, we went through the first year of doing some training things. If you go back to, like I said, 6 years ago or when we arrived and trying to put things into place. And now, you know, there were some growing pains for certain in that first year and a half and what exactly we're looking for and what exactly the players, the advantage that they feel that they have when they get this video prior to playing in the game. So it's been something where, again, we feel it's a competitive advantage and something that.
But to let the people know, and what John and I were amazed by is that basically the guys will have a week to watch five games while they're still doing their regular jobs.
Yes. Yeah.
So they've got to put together five games and gather all that information and all the statistics for the players and for you.
Yeah, it's that's exactly what happens. And like I said, you know, our 5-on-5 portion of our meeting in the past has been anywhere from, you know, probably when I got here prior to us getting started was a 4 or 5 minute meeting. So let me tell you now that we're at a 10-minute meeting, and at times it's a 12-minute meeting with the details of the game that we want to instill in our players. And I think the results speak for themselves in terms of the number of points we've been able to generate over the last 5 years.
Over 100 every year.
No one's close to us throughout the league. And it is a competitive advantage, like I said. When you get players to buy into it, and then, you know, the workflow that you ask your assistants or video coaches to do, now they understand that it's truly making a difference. So, you know, now, again, five games is a lot. That's in the beginning of the year, and we taper off as we go on. But I thought Brett did a great job of explaining that, and certainly he and Tim Ohashi both have a lot on their plate.
Well, what's the difference this year versus last year? Last year, defending champs, right? I got a feeling there's a part of you that says, you know, I don't want to screw this thing up, you know? And now it's really put your own stamp on the team? Or did you try? I mean, obviously you tried to do that last year, but what's the difference? It's got to be somewhat different.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different entity. And, you know, you always have certain things that you've done systematically that have allowed you to have success in the league and things that we believe in, but a lot of it's personnel based, and you know we have some changes in our D group. We have some changes with some guys that we signed to add to our forward, you know, in particular our bottom six, and how we're going to play is you can expect us again with a longer summer of training, and with us being fresher than we were at this point last year. You can expect us to play a little bit more of an aggressive style of hockey. You can expect us to really allow us to use some of the speed that we have, whether that's Brandon Leipzig that's joined us. And, you know, you got a really, you know, guy with speed and physicality and Hathaway, a good two-way player in Panic that have joined us. And then now all the guys we've had, you know, that already have that speed with Hagelin and Verana and up and down our lineup, Tom Wilson, you know, it's something that I think that because we have a little bit more in the tank than we did last year, we don't have to be quite as passive, and I think we can really dictate how the game is played and spend, as a result, spend less time in our defensive zone, which, you know, we spent a little bit too much time there last year. So those are some of the things you can see, and you'll see a little bit of a difference.
Are there guys that can surprise you that are in camp that could work their way onto the roster, or when you show up and you start practicing, you pretty much know the guys you're going with?
No, I mean, the thing is, you know, that's probably the one thing that it was really something new to me last year. I knew it was what could potentially happen, but you spend the summer gathering, you know, these lineups you think would look best and guys you want to give opportunities here and there, and then the next thing you know, two guys are hurt in rookie camp that right. You wanted to give a great opportunity to, or, you know, something happens with suspension. You know, we saw with Tom and last year, and, you know, Travis Boyd breaks his foot. So all those type of things, you have this master plan, and I think it was not even until maybe it was the last month of the season that we actually had the lineup that I wanted last year. That we went 70 games without our lineup that we projected to start the summer to the season with. So, you know, that's a credit to our players picking up the slack in some certain areas, and obviously some young players getting an opportunity to still be able to win our division and have a 100-point season.
All right, since you mentioned suspension, the elephant in the room, and nobody here wanted to bring up the Cousy situation. Can you just kind of comment on how he's going to fit in, how you guys have handled this as an organization?
Yeah, you know, I for us, it's at this point, it's out of our hands. It's in the National Hockey League's hands, and we're gonna, you know, out of respect for the process, we're gonna allow it to take its course, and, you know, hope to hear something here soon, so we can make some adjustments if need be, and otherwise, you know, move forward from there. But you know, at this time, you know, we've really it's been really important for us to help Evgeny as he's going through some tough times and support him and then you know, now allow him, when he does get back on the ice and is part of that, to be able to get back to the level of play that he had the prior season and he'd shown us in the Stanley Cup playoffs 2 years ago.
Let me ask you about a new face. Very annoying in a Flyers sweater, Radko Gudas. Now he's our guy. Now we have to wrap our arms around him. He's a Washington Capitals.
It seems like everybody hates him, right?
I think he's like a pest and an agitator and a guy that you hate when he's on the other team, but you love him when he's on your team. What's he going to bring to the Capitals?
His nickname, by the way, Ragu.
Okay, if you say so.
I just made it up.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
It might be. I don't have it.
I might go with that. I might go with that.
That could work.
So he's it's very similar to the situation to when I first came here, and two defensemen came with me, and one of them's name was Brooks Orpik, and
right.
He was not a very well liked player around here initially. I even think there was booze in the stands when we had him on our in our jersey. But you know, it's a player that you know, the best compliment you can give somebody is that they're no fun to play against. And
right.
He's played a lot against Alex Ovechkin, and they've gone head-to-head. And it's, like I said, it's very similar. I remember Ovi's comments when Brooks came. He was like, I'm happy to have him on our side. And that was probably something very similar that he said about adding Radko. And, you know, obviously we lose a valuable, you know, player with Matt Niskanen going to Philadelphia, and especially a Metro team. But you know, we like adding a little bit of the edge that we have. We think we're at our best, like I said, when we're playing an aggressive style of hockey where we're not fun to play against, where we have an edge. And now we have some more of that back there with losing, you know, Brooks Orpik to retirement, and you know, like I said, the addition of a Garnet Hathaway, and the addition of, you know, now things it's not always falling on Tom Wilson to be that guy for us. So we like how things are set up for us right now, and we'll, like I said, know it's a moving target often as you go through injuries and different things you have to deal with as a team. But we're real excited to get going here tomorrow.
So Lars Eller is scheduled to join us next. Little side bet. Cake says the last time he's seen him twice.
Two times.
One at a grocery store or something like that.
Filling up his car with gas.
That both times he's worn jorts, jean shorts.
Oh.
Will he be wearing jorts today?
And I saw him already today, so
you've already forgotten.
Yeah, like 61 guys. I was. That's probably, you know, that is the Danish style.
That's his signature. So
that's his go-to. On that, you know, like, you know, occasionally you'd see, you know, Phil Grubauer in his attire, as we know, with the German background, but. No, I think he's gonna go. I think you're right. I'm gonna agree with you. I think
Jordy's jorts.
So yeah. That'll be three for three.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah. And that's a Scandinavian thing, and that Jorts.
We'll never understand it.
That J is a silent J.
I don't know.
So exactly. You gotta excuse me, and you're not sure when you leave. What did he just tell me he had? Anyways, it's. They all have their own style and their own fashion, and some spend a lot of time on it,
right.
And you know,
others don't.
Some don't put any thought to it. So, it's fun to be back in front of the guys today. Like I said, we had a short meeting and just to kind of let them know what was expected for the day and set some expectations in terms of things we need to build on. And like I said, the fact that we have had a longer summer, I think, is going to allow us to have a little bit more energy and enthusiasm to start the year, allow us to play that more aggressive style that I feel gives us success. And like I said, the personnel that we've added are going to be, you know, also conducive to allow us to play that type of hockey. So it's exciting.
Coach, appreciate it.
All right,
Coach Todd Reardon,
head coach of the Washington Capitals.
Nice seeing
you guys.
Thank you, Coach.
Mars Eller scheduled to join us next as we broadcast live from MedStar Capitals Iceplex, presented by AAA. Hit the road with confidence. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live from MedStar Capitals Iceplex, presented by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence.
I can't sing the praises of AAA enough. Like, because obviously, like everybody else, we can't fix our cars. AAA, they take
speak
care
for
of
yourself.
It. Yeah, it's Lars Eller joining us.
And Cakes, you called it. Let's see what he's wearing the jorts.
Lars, it's jorts alert.
Mandatory.
This is the third time I've seen you in the last calendar year. You were here with us and joined us last year. I saw you, I think, a month later or so in Arlington filling up your car. Jorts again.
Yeah.
Three for three on jorts.
Yeah.
You're a jorts guy.
I think you should get a pair, and I mean, that's the only thing you're going to buy after that.
Yeah, but they look way better on you because you got the big muscular calves and thighs, and I don't. So I don't think they look as good on me as they do on you.
Well, you're wearing jeans, then you can.
I can just cut them off. I can make them myself, right?
Yeah. Same thing.
So, what's it like for you? What are you excited about? I mean, obviously, how long did the playoff loss last year, the Game 7 loss, double overtime deal? How long did that linger with you? And how anxious are you to get back out here and get started?
Yeah, that hurts for a while.
Yeah.
In a way, when every time it gets brought up, it still hurts.
Annoying, right?
And it should.
Is he annoying you right now?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Bringing that up, is that what's happening?
No, but at the same time, you know, we all hate to lose.
Right.
You know, that's what drives us and what you want to compete. You hate that feeling. So that stings for a while, as it should. But, you know, at the same time...
Was it a little easier because you had won the year before, or was that no different? As a fan, it was easier.
I think it hurts just as much when in the moment when it happens, at the days after. But then, of course, when you distance yourself from it and now looking back at it, of course, it feels good that at least you have, you know, you have a ring in the bag, and nobody can ever take that away. That
or on Eric's finger,
right? We got a little mini version of it.
So yeah,
right.
So we got that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a new season. We moved on. I think we still got a great group here that can contend. So I'm super excited about that.
By the way, speaking of winning the Stanley Cup and getting the ring. If anybody ever sees this man out in public, I cannot stress this enough. You should never pay for a drink, a dinner, a haircut, groceries.
Pedicure.
If you see him about to take out his credit card, you say, no, Lars, put that back in your wallet.
Right.
This is taken care of.
Right.
A parking ticket, a speeding ticket. All of that should be paid for.
Anything.
This is just a public service announcement for everybody in the D.C. area.
How often has that happened? It happens, right?
Yeah, it has to have happened.
It has happened, for sure.
I should have paid for your gas when I saw
what
you.
What are you doing?
Yeah, but I would have felt like a stalker.
I still have to pay for gas, but yeah, I've had a few I had a few drinks and
for sure
on the house a couple of times. So, yeah, it's you can definitely tell everybody in the city is very appreciative of what we did 2 years ago and everything that came with it, and people are proud of it, and so are we.
What's it like with the transition with the new guys? Every year there are new guys, but, you know, getting to know them, getting to know their styles, getting to know sort of the team chemistry, the way you guys are going to play, how difficult is that? How easy is that? How normal is that for you?
It is normal, in a sense, but also the last 3 years I've been here, we've been very lucky of we having a big group of guys staying together now. The two guys I've played with mainly the last 3 years, and both of those guys are gone. So it's going to be a little more different for me than maybe some of the guys in other ahead of me in the lineup. That's going to have largely the same team line mates. So that's what we're going to use the next 2-3 weeks for, is really gel together, find each other, get a lot of reps in practice, get a lot of reps in games, and feel good about everything. But, you know, we're all hockey players. I think you'll find out pretty fast if you have good chemistry or not.
And the defense is going to look different, too. Niskanen now in Philadelphia. Brooks Orpik retired. You'll still see his face around a bit because he's part of the player development staff here with the Capitals. But some new faces on defense, too, that you're going to have to work into the mix.
Yeah, some very significant guys. That's been a big part of our group. Those are changing. So, you know, it's coming sooner or later. That always happens. But at the same time, it brings in some new energy. It brings in something new that you start something new together. Something ends and you start something new together with new players. Largely the group is still the same. But, yes, there has been some changes. But it doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
How much, off-season conditioning, that kind of thing, do you do, and when does that really ramp up? Are you constantly skating? Are you constantly lifting? Do you give your body a month rest? What's that off-season like for you?
Well, everybody is different, but for me, I like to take about 2 to 4 weeks of not doing a lot, doing what I want. Definitely don't spend a lot of time in the gym. After that, after about 2 to 4 weeks, you start to get back in the gym, work out about 4 to 5 times a week, and then about a month before training camp, then I'll start to hit the ice again a couple of times a week. But I'd like to take a good long break from ice practice because you have to
To
miss it again. You know, you have to be excited to go out there again, and that's so much. You don't want to be in a situation a month or two into the season when you're, oh, now it's hockey again, like practice again, right? You still want to be hungry the whole time, so that's you got to balance that out.
We just had Coach Reardon on, and he talked about not having that off season. You know, you didn't have that long playoff run, so your off season was longer. Is that an advantage for you now coming in? I would think it would be.
Logically, it would be,
yeah,
because we had longer time to recuperate. So it should.
It should be.
Yeah.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Lars, you're a good sport. Who always wears jorts?
I mean, that's true. And I need jorts now too, because I need to be more like Lars.
You need to get a pair.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us. Of course, we're broadcasting live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex, presented by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.